Let's go ahead and get into it. Let's get into the. Let's get to sawing, y'all. Get to spiraling. Oh, let's see here. Oh, are we ready? Are we ready? Yes, we are. And here we go. Let's play a game, Martin. You know what?
Time for games is over.
Man, if I had thought about it and we went to the old studio, I actually would have introduced this video riding on a little tricycle. Hey, y'all, what's up?
Nah, man, he don't do that no more. No,
nah, man, he's retired.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
That's that old shit.
Yep. Yeah, that bicycle is on an exhibit now somewhere.
At the Smithsonian.
Yeah. All right, people, let's go ahead and get into it. That little tricycle's up in the rafters now. Yeah, that little saw puppet, he's like, I'm done, man. Let somebody else take over with this whole franchise. It needs some new blood anyway.
Sure.
And at one time, Saw and the character Jigsaw, he was all about helping people, man. You know, he's all about getting people to improve themselves.
By cutting their own legs off.
Well, Martin, it was the most fucked up pep talk you could ever have. It's probably the most fucked up inspirational speech you'll ever get.
I tried Tony Robbins, they just wasn't doing it for me.
No,
put my life in the hands of the puppet.
Yeah, sometimes people don't listen. Sometimes you just got to cut a motherfucker for them to get the point. You know, I bet if I cut your foot off. You know? And you know what? Listen, that's what it takes, man. It's the most fucked up pep talk and inspirational speech that you'll ever have. But if you lived, you probably made some life changes for the better.
I guess.
Every time you looked down at that stump and that nub, you thought like, shit, I better get my, I need Jesus. I better quit smoking. I better put this drink down. I better go back to college. I better get my GED. Yeah, a lot of people improved their lives because of old Jigsaw out there. But now Jigsaw, he's so proud of his work. At one time he was changing lives, and now old Jigsaw wants to change the world. And he said, you know, I never wanted to do this, but now, hey, look, y'all, I don't want to get social. I don't want to get political.
But that is the thing these days.
But that's the thing these days. I mean, some people say, hey, look, I don't want to wake up.
Hey, you know, the new Jigsaw, he's not above getting with the trends.
No.
What are the kids into these days?
Yeah. Shit, maybe I can trend and get a hashtag and all that shit. So now he's into changing the world, not just people. And he says, you know, what better place to start? Oh, my God. Oh, we don't want to hear you yet, Chris. You wait a minute. He said, oh, my God, what better place to start than with police reform?
Sure. I mean, if the police aren't going to do it themselves, somebody's got to get the ball rolling.
It's a goddamn shame when a white sociopathic murderer serial killer has to say, you know what? Police need to stop murdering people. With a white serial killer who makes fucking traps and rips people apart has to say, you know, police out of control. You know, that's when you know things are fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, and I guess it helps that you also have a black producer in there, which is Chris Rock. Chris Rock is in here. He came up with the idea behind this. Sat down with somebody. Ain't that somewhere? Man, they got dudes out there probably writing some of the best scripts in the world and can't even get a sit down.
No.
Can't get a sit down with an intern.
Yeah.
But Chris Rock, he's at a wedding. He looks over and like, he's at a wedding in South America. He's in Brazil. Looks over and like, oh shit, you work at Lionsgate, right? Hey man, I got an idea for a Saw movie. Oh, well look, come meet me on Monday in Hollywood and let's go ahead and get it made. Uh-huh. That's probably about 10 amazing Saw scripts out there. People like, no, don't bring that shit over here.
Yeah, but Chris Rock's name can get it made.
He can get it made. You know, that's what happens when you a multi-million dollar celebrity. You can just walk in and say, hey, man, give me $100 million. I want to make some shit.
Right. Chris, this is great. With you attached, they already gave us the money, and I got some ideas for casting the lead. Yeah, so do I. Me.
Yeah.
I guess that'll work.
Yeah. Chris Rock came in. I got some ideas for the next song. We don't want to hear it. Here's your money.
Yeah.
We got some ideas too. Yeah, man. So people, you know, is Chris Rock the fresh new blood, pun intended, right here, that Saw needs in order to get this franchise up and going? And can Jigsaw actually come in and change the way cops are out there doing their things? You know, you put a cop or two in a trap, rip them apart. And cops will get the message. That'd be cool.
Yeah, and it'll spread across the country.
Yeah, man. This is Jigsaw's protest right here. Let's go ahead and take a look at this trailer for not Saw, not Jigsaw. This time, we are Spiral. Spiral from the book of Jigsaw.
This package just came in.
Play me.
Hello, Detective Banks. Do you know where your officers are?
Jigsaw?
Wait, I thought the Jigsaw killer was dead.
He is.
They're hours, not days.
How can I catch this guy? If there's nobody on the force, I can bust!
You can't do this alone.
Whoever did this has another motive. Something personal.
When was the last time you saw your father?
Jigsaw copycat.
This is gonna go sideways fast. I'm gonna let it spin like a
spiral. All available units, officer down.
That was just a diversion to get us out of the precinct!
Spiral, 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 spiral.
I need everyone on this case!
Shit, they put that song in a trap.
they literally put trap music in a movie about traps.
A movie about traps. Genius!
You're right? It works on so many levels.
This shit is so meta.
Spiral, 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 spiral.
He could be anyone. He could be anyone.
We're gonna tear this city apart. I'm gonna make spin like a spiral.
Hello, Detective Banks. When was the last time you saw your father?
Motherfucker! Oh, shit! people. So, let's go ahead and get into this, and I'm just going to let you know that with this particular movie right here, yeah, they're trying some different things. Sure, it's political. Sure, it's social. It's even a little blacker this time, hence the 21 Savage song that they got in here. But I tell you, they don't waste any time at the beginning giving fans, the Saw fans, what they want, what they like. You know, this starts out with a cop following someone into a dark tunnel by himself. And it's funny because, man, you know, you never follow anybody alone in a Saw movie, whether it's light or dark. You won't ever follow nobody by yourself behind a corner.
You don't do that in any situation.
You don't do that in any situation, but you don't do that in a Disney movie.
Right.
But you damn sure don't do that in a Saw movie, because you know when you do, that pig head got your ass. It's always a pig waiting in the dark for you. And Porky.
Wait, was it pigs in the other movie?
It was always somebody in the pig head.
Okay.
Grabbing somebody. Yeah. Yeah. Now, I just
thought it was because, okay, he's targeting cops, so.
Nah, it's always been. Now, I can't remember the pig head was in actually the first Saw. I don't think so, but I know in the second Saw.
Okay.
Like, yeah, the side chick that was always wearing a Porky the pig head and shit. So, yeah. Yeah, you know, it's a goddamn cop, too. you know good and goddamn well you call some backup. That's how you know that motherfucker's crooked.
Yeah.
Because he's about to do some crooked shit.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it seemed like they would give you a bigger flashlight.
Yeah. Or you call for backup.
Call for backup.
All right, the dude stole a purse. You don't fucking follow nobody in the dark purse.
Yeah, down into the sewer for a purse.
That's when you go back and look at that woman and say, bitch, your shit is gone. You want to file a complaint?
Which is what real cops do.
Yeah. Yeah, cops don't even say file a complaint no more. They say, your shit is gone.
Yep, they say, like, we're probably not going to catch him.
Yeah.
You're not going to, you say, probably not. Okay, we're not. But you're going to try. Not really.
Yeah, nah. So, man, you want our help? Go call your credit card companies and cancel all that shit and get a new purse and hold on to your shit next time.
Why'd you even show up?
Yeah.
We were in the area.
And when I say that they are actually giving the people what they want, the fans what they want in the beginning, I mean, it kicks off with the, you know, the stupid ass going in by himself, the, you know, Porky kidnapping people in the dark. And of course, they get right into the signature of the franchise, the traps. Don't waste no time getting to that. And I'm going to tell you, regardless of what I feel about the movie later on, whether I love it or I hate it, they do make these traps a little more gruesome this time. Shit, this time they did some crazy shit with the traps. Well, I just kind of like, well, fuck, you know, maybe I should just die.
Of course. Every one of these traps was like, well, you could, if you don't want to die, you could do this. I'm like, that ain't no choice.
Dying's easier at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think, Marty? Did he make it? He's going to be all right. You know, he broke free just in time.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, if he just moves to the left real quick.
Yeah, right.
He'll be all right. Yeah, he's good. Somebody said that the pig head was in the first Saw movie.
Was it?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's been so long as I've seen the first
Saw. Same here.
But yeah, man. Now, here's where we get some crazy shit. How somebody had time to build that trap and put somebody in it, the amount of time that, you know, those trains were coming by.
Yeah, like running out there every time there wasn't a train building it, then stepping back, and hoping the train doesn't knock it out of the way, the next train.
How they had time to build a goddamn big-ass elaborate trap and put somebody in it between trains, I don't know.
Look, man, if you're going to start thinking about these things, it's all going to fall apart.
They work very quick and efficiently.
Yeah.
We'll just say that. That fool had a train schedule. He planned it out very well. Like people plan their trips out.
Maybe it's a Sunday and the train only runs once every 2 hours.
Yeah, and they run it less during COVID time. Yeah. So yeah, you know, I'm sure he had time to do.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean when the cameras weren't watching them either. But hey, you know,
he disabled the cameras.
Yeah, for a week. But sure.
He built it at home as a kit that he could bring in piece by piece and then just assemble all at once. And he knew exactly when that cop was going to be down there. And
plus he knew exactly.
To drug him and put him in position.
And he knew the train that everybody complained about, the slowest train in the city.
And he knew that that cop would be there and see that particular robber at that moment. And not call for backup, but follow him down there by himself.
It's all planning, man.
Yes, it's all.
You know what this movie teaches? The importance of planning.
And that's right.
And being on time and being dedicated.
Be like Batman. Prepare for every contingency.
So y'all wrong. That ain't right, but it could be true. He said, maybe hire some Mexicans from Home Depot, bro. Because, you know, they put that shit together fast.
Yeah.
He got a real smart 13-year-old or something. But anyway, people, you know, traps have always been there.
Sure.
But let's talk about one of the things that they hope will make Saw, the franchise, fresh, shiny, and new again. And that's your boy, Mr. Chris Rock right here. And more than what are the new traps, more than what is, you know, what's this movie going to be like? Can they bring Saw back? People want to know, how's Chris Rock? And I'll say this. You can tell because Chris Rock is not credited with being a full writer. You know, he's producer, and I'm sure he came up with the story and everything, or the concept at least. But he definitely had at least if not a hand in the writing process, he had a pinky in there or something. Because when this starts out, it is not a Saw movie. It is a Chris Rock comedy special.
Yeah, he's working out material for his next special.
This fool is not doing, he is not doing dialogue. He's doing stand-up. He starts out the movie. Forrest Gump. Yeah. Jenny didn't want to fuck Forrest Gump until she got AIDS. And I was just like, man, just pull out the microphone. Marriage. Boy, marriage. Motherfuckers be getting married.
And the way the rest of the cops just kind of stand around nodding. You're like, is this like one of those Dolomite shows where he's in somebody's living room doing stand-up and performing?
Yeah. Boy, don't get married. You know, you can give a woman a million Tuesdays. It ain't worth three Sundays or three Saturdays. It's like, okay, man, what the fuck we doing here? Yeah. You know, if you want to do stand-up, do stand-up. Do you want to do stand-up? You want to capture Jigsaw? What the fuck we doing? he has jokes, and it's jokes that, look, we all joke about. I'm not saying it's bad, but it's like, it is straight up stand-up material. Yeah, it's jokes about marriage, divorce.
That's what all his last couple stand-up specials have been about. I was like, man, he's still bitter and dragging it into the movie.
Yeah.
It's almost like he's like, I had a bunch of jokes left over from those specials, and God damn it, I'm using them. Well, maybe we can weave them in later. Well, in case we can't, I'm using them now. I'm opening up the movie that way.
Women like to fuck around, too. It's like, Negro, if you don't stop this shit and get on this case right now, you want to be a serious actor, then stop fucking around and solve this case.
Well, it's really funny that he comes in with jokes and jokes and jokes, because that in no way plays into his character.
He's dead. So he's Zeke. And Zeke is a guy who, to give you a little backstory, Zeke is not, and I'm not going to tell you too much, I'll let you find out for yourself, but Zeke is not very popular with his precinct. And it doesn't help that a lot of people feel like there's a little bit of nepotism going on too, because his father, Marcus, was the chief at one time. So everybody feels like Zeke, he can just go out and do whatever he wants to do because, his daddy was the chief. And also, you know, because he feels like nobody's got his back, that gives him the liberty to just go out and do things on his own.
Right.
Shit that you would have to sign several things for.
Yes, a big undercover sting that he told no one about.
Yeah, exactly. So this dude's supposed to be mad about the precinct. He's supposed to be upset about everybody thinking he's getting privileged just because of his father, and he's doing stand-up and shit.
I mean, it'd be different if throughout the movie he was a funny guy doing stand-up or cracking jokes, but he's not.
I was waiting for him to tell his partner that he was practicing his material for open mic later that night. Mm-hmm. Like if that night he went to a club and got up on stage, I would not have been surprised. Like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
There's these people. He's bringing so much comedy in the beginning and still trying to actually be straight about it. You know, he's trying to still be dramatic, but he's cracking jokes. There's even an appearance by your old boy, Pookie.
This crack shit, man, it's got me, man. I don't got no control over it, man. I try to kick, man. Shit, this be calling me, man.
Be calling me like them jokes. And be calling me. But I'm not even lying. Pookie makes an appearance. He even throws in New Jack City somewhere in the movie.
He does, I know. I was like, boy, these dudes just cannot help themselves.
Oh.
It's like anytime Ice Cube shows up in something, he has to go like, well, I'd say it was a good day.
Today's a good day. Man, somebody had to ask. Somebody, did you see the movie? Did you ask? Somebody wants to. I imagine somebody's asking, like, did he get put in a trap? He's like, Scotty, help me. I'm going to die. Win or lose, you can either smoke this rock. it's no trap. It's just a rock right there and a gun. Oh, shit. But man, somebody had to ask. So, you know, him being a police, and we're talking about the kind of movie that this is. Somebody had to ask, is there a certain scene in there? Because when he's not telling jokes, then we are being treated to pretty much a generic cop buddy action flick, at least in the beginning. And the reason why I say this is because it is so generic that they don't waste no time getting into the scene that we have seen a million times before. And that is the chief yelling at the rogue cop for not being a team player.
And that's the thing. Like, to kick this movie off, we get past the trap. We get past the sting that sort of works out but doesn't. And we get into that precinct, and they immediately go like, all right, to kick this off, to get it established, we're going to need just pull a couple of cliches off the shelf and so we can put that in the stew and get it started. And when they reached up, all of them fell in there.
All of them.
Oh, the yelling police chief, the renegade cop who doesn't want a partner. Oh, they saddle him and
hold on, because I'm getting ahead of yourself.
But just everything they were thrown in there. And that scene is nothing but pure exposition.
They think that because this time the police chief got titties, that they doing something different.
Yes.
No. I mean, she fine as hell. I go,
like, yeah, I was like, so the police chief is an Instagram model. Okay.
I was like, you know what? At least she's fine as hell. It's okay. You did that different, but everything is good. Oh, because it ain't an angry black dude or old white man.
See,
you think
they,
you're
they
doing something different. Yeah. Oh, no, she got ass titties now. It's different. No, it's the same shit.
12 years ago, I turn in a dirty cop. I get a medal for it. Big fucking deal. I also got a bullet, and I got to look over my back for the rest of my career.
Shut up!
He's like, I'm sick of you.
She's like, you telling me shit that I was here for. Why do you go over this every day you come into the office?
She's like, I've been listening to Everybody Hates Chris for the last fucking week. My family loves that show. I hate it. Shut up! Sick of hearing your voice. I got a bullet in my back. Everybody hate me. Shut the fuck up!
It's too fucking hot in here for me to listen to this bullshit. I got a heat wave going on. We got rolling blackouts. The city is nuts. Stop!
You want to see me, Captain?
Yeah, come in. Zeke, I want you to meet Detective in Training William Schenck. He was the top of his academy, so don't screw this up. Zeke is going to break you in, show you the ropes.
Detective Banks, it's good to meet you. Yep.
Go.
Yep.
He stopped on more like, damn, she fine. You see, he didn't want to leave the office. You see where he looked?
Yeah.
She had to tell, get the fuck out of here.
Go.
Shit. Man, yeah, and as you mentioned, and as you can see right here, they even threw in, and you're getting a partner. Nah, I work alone.
Yeah.
It's like, damn, man.
It's like, this is Rush Hour again, except without the humor. Oh, that's right. We had all the jokes in the beginning.
And I liked, but you know, his partner, who is named Schneck, who's played by Max Minghella, who I like that actor, but it even gets to a moment where they're riding along and they have Chris Rock is telling so many jokes, it turns into Training Day for a moment.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at some of the same, it's just a slightly skewed version of some of the dialogue. When you had Denzel Washington and Ethan Hawke, you know, let me fuck your wife. Mm. And he's like, what? They kind of have something very similar to that right here. You know, it sounds like I'm hating on the film, and I'm not. It just starts out with some cliches. It starts out with Chris Rock, you know, wanting to be a more serious actor, but still. And it wouldn't be so bad if the jokes didn't feel like they were forced in. You know, it feels like Chris Rock is saying, even when I'm trying to be in serious mode, people are not going to really like me unless I tell a joke or two, or five, or 10, or 50. But the movie flip-flops me for a while, man, because, you know, sometimes Chris Rock is good in the movie. Sometimes it feels like he's forcing his dialogue and he's not so good. He's trying too hard. The traps are sick, man. And I'm not even saying sick as in, yes, cool, but also the traps are sick in that they are very gruesome and they did put some thought into it because, as I said, man, you know, yes, you can live, but it's going to be very painful, that other choice that you have.
Yeah.
Some of these traps were so gruesome, I thought, you know what, fuck it, dying is quicker and easier and probably less painful.
Yeah. And you're not even guaranteed to live, but the way he's saying, well, if you do this, you'll be all right. No, it won't.
No, even the way they like some of the choices they give you, it's like that ain't even living after if I choose to do so. They gave some very hard choices, and I was flinching when I saw some of these traps in here. So I think they did a good idea on the traps. Thing is that, you know, that's another thing. They go back to the original concept of morality with them. You know, they really are picking people who have done things and saying, hey, you know what? Be a better person or fucking die. And that's cool because even Jigsaw Jigsaw started making so many traps later on in the movie that he got confused. He just started killing people.
Yeah.
Like he baked the chick in an oven and she didn't do shit to anybody.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, man, what, you know, at this point, this not even making any sense anymore.
I guess after a while, he just kind of realized, like, you know, I'm really not in this for the morality. I thought I was just fooling myself with that.
Yeah, you know, this shit got fun. Like, it ain't no bad people to sit up here and kill. You know, fuck it, I take what I can take. You didn't do nothing? I don't give a shit. Yeah, you know, they got back into, like, the traps seemed like they actually have a theme, where later on, it felt exploitive, man. I felt like they were just making traps so that they could just kill people, and they didn't really care what the morality was. Mm-hmm. They just had ideas they had to put in place. They had sequels that they had to put out real quick. Let's not forget that Saw was owning Halloween every year.
Right.
And so they were putting these movies out quick. That's why you didn't get no A-list actors really in there.
Sure.
You know, that's why they looked kind of cheap after a while.
Wait, you don't count Donnie Wahlberg as an A-list actor?
You know what? I count him as, you know, fuck it. Damn. Mark, you just put me in a Saw trap. I'm sitting up here trying to say he's an A-list actor. Are you going to lose your hands? Fuck. I don't know. Shit. Kinda. No, we don't want kinda. Make your choice. Live or die. Fuck. Nah, man. But you know, those traps don't really elevate beyond. They might be cool, but they don't elevate beyond seeing it, been there.
No.
You know, they do this all the time. They might be a little more gruesome this time and whatnot, but, you know, there's nothing that really makes them that much different, and they definitely don't feel like they're progressed as far as the story goes.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I felt like that wasn't really the goal so much. I could forgive it that. I mean, they are gruesome, and when you look at Spiral's motivation,
yeah,
they're effective.
Yeah.
I mean, for me as a viewer, I was like, all right, this is just torture porn.
What, this movie right here?
Yeah. I mean, when they got to the traps.
When they got to the traps, yeah. No, I can definitely see that. You know, like I said, I didn't know what to think about this. It was like I'm personally, I was getting tired of the Saw movies. As fans were getting tired of the Saw movies, man. People who look forward to a Saw movie every year, even they were like, okay, this shit ain't really doing nothing that different. The actors are sucking more and more every movie. Mm-hmm. So they really are just shitting these out after a certain point. And I didn't feel like that with this. I said, there's a higher quality level here. And I respect that. But then your boy, Sam L. J., enters the picture right here. And for me, it was like he came in and it's almost like he floated in and just kind of elevated things just a little higher with him.
You pull a gun on your old man? You out of your mind? I could have killed you.
What are you talking about? I got the gun.
I could have killed you.
How'd you get in here?
You forget who the landlord is?
Yeah, but that doesn't give you the right to just walk in here anytime you want. Renter's got rights.
You start paying some rent, you can get some rights. I heard about Boz. You all right?
Nah, Dad, I'm done.
Sorry to hear that. I know how close you were. Jigsaw copycat. That could be difficult.
Look, maybe it's because I just love Samuel Jackson so much. Samuel Jackson could have rolled in on a little ass tricycle with a red bow tie, a little black Pee Wee Herman suit, and I think he would still be amazing. You know, I think with this, one of the things that was missing from Saw and could have helped is that as the movies are being made cheaper, because I'm not really talking about the actors and actresses when they're that bad. You know, they weren't all that bad. They just weren't they weren't huge name actors. And you could tell that they were being movies that were being put out quick. But one of the things I can say that Samuel Jackson and Chris Rock is doing here is that it is bringing in a quality that seemed like these movies were missing for a while. Because I think that him and Chris Rock are great together, because I think he elevates Chris Rock. They have the most natural feeling moments together. Even though, I know you laughed at this, even though there's a flashback in here where it's obvious that
Tyler Perry supplied all the facial, all the hair.
Man, it is clear that Samuel Jackson is wearing a fake mustache and Chris Rock has a goatee glued to his face.
Yep.
And him and Samuel Jackson are yelling at each other. It's just like two pieces of bad facial hair fighting with each other.
Yeah.
I was like, God damn. Yeah,
to DH, Chris Rock will give him a goatee and a baseball cap.
And put it backwards.
Put it backwards, like a kid.
Yeah. And what he looked like, he looked like a 50-year-old motherfucker with a glued-on goatee and a backwards cap.
Yeah.
Talking to a motherfucker wearing a fake-ass Steve Harvey mustache. Right. I was like, get the fuck, you serious? You brought all these fucking A-list quality up in here. You slapped these goddamn Tyler Perry hair on these people, right? Come on, man. Mm-hmm. You remember that shit?
Yes, I do.
I was like, are you fucking serious?
I know. I was like, we're doing this. Okay, all right, I guess.
Already crazy because Chris Rock is going to the movie with this fucking caterpillar sleeping on his chin the whole time. This goddamn asp on his chin. Right?
You can see it crawl every so often.
It just smile every now and then. Hey, I mean, you about to say something? Go ahead.
Oh no. Well, one of the things that, like, you can feel Samuel Jackson elevate this is because, unlike just about everybody else in this movie, except for Max Mengele, Samuel Jackson can act, and everybody else, they're like those studio players who are just in stuff. Most time I felt like I was watching community theater with community players pretending to be cops. I was like, none of y'all feel like real cops. And Chris Rock, God bless him, he's trying too hard throughout this movie.
Yes,
he's got two acting styles. It's either he's doing his stand up or he's yelling.
Yep.
And most of the time, he's doing all his acting with his eyes and moving his mouth around like this. And there's a point where he confronts one of the older cops that used to be on the force, and that guy's talking to him, and it's nothing. But every time they cut to Chris Rock, I don't know if you have it, but the guy's talking and just back and forth reaction shots. Every time he's changing his expression, I was like, it's like he's losing his mind here.
There's a moment Chris Rock is trying so hard, and they left the camera on him a little too long, because there's a moment that he's trying so hard, his eye starts twitching.
Yes,
it's almost like he's about to pop a blood vessel, because he's trying to look so serious, and it's like, brother, you to look serious means don't try.
That's what he hasn't been taught, because Samuel Jackson comes in and is like, okay. I was thinking, okay, Max Mengele has been doing it up to this point, but Samuel Jackson really comes in and it's like, this guy's an actor. He knows how to deliver a line where he's relaxed and it feels natural. Even with the terrible dialogue they have in here, because they have him say motherfucker in every scene. It's like it just can't be resisted. And he might have put it in there, but there's nobody going like, maybe not so much. But still, He knows how to deliver words as if he actually came up with them, as opposed to something he's trying to remember or trying to be intense with everything. Like, you can be intense by not being intense.
And people, it doesn't help that they give these people really bad tough cop dialogue in the beginning. I don't ever want to hear these fucking words again in a movie. I don't want to hear this again. Fuck you. Fuck me. No. Fuck you. I heard that line of dialogue in so many movies, and it's painful every time. No one ever says that shit in real life. No one has ever said, fuck you, fuck me. No, fuck no. When somebody says, fuck you, like, bitch, fuck you too. Nobody says,
I know.
Don't nobody go back and forth playing.
Fuck you. Oh, well, damn, I guess that settles it then.
Yeah, don't nobody fucking play tennis with fuck yous. Fuck you. No, fuck you. Fuck me. No, fuck you. No, fuck you too.
If you looked at this script, 20% of it, maybe even 25, is the word fuck.
Oh,
because in that opening scene with that cop chasing that guy, everything is fuck, fuck this, fuck, come back, you motherfucker. Oh, fuck, fuck, fuck. I was like, the movie just started.
Yeah.
Come on. write something.
No, that's, you can even listen to the beginning of the movie. Yeah, they start out the dialogue. Yeah, again, I know I say fuck all the time. I know that. And I say the N-word all the time. I know that. But when you're using that as a crutch to sound tough, that doesn't work. Especially when you're wearing a pink-ass coat and shit. Goddamn slacks. Skinny slacks and shit. I know. You try to talk tough, you goddamn a salmon belly coat and some goddamn... and some Dockers on and shit. Hey, motherfucker!
Get your fucking hands in the air! I ain't gonna say it again, motherfucker!
Fucker!
Yeah.
Motherfucker!
Like, this just started. Yeah. I'm not here to dislike things, but hey, come on, don't open like this.
Yeah, you know. Hey, listen. I'm gonna tell you, man, for me. Now, them again, you know, of course we speak for ourselves here, but for me, how does this movie play out? Well, here's the good thing. This is the, in my opinion, this is the best Saw movie that they've had in years. Bad thing, it's still a Saw movie. You know, it still suffers from taking an already crazy premise that's out there and squeezing and shitting out as many sequels as you can. Now, this does seem a little more sincere than those other movies that they've done. But there's one thing that these movies have done that they just can't seem to get over. At least I can't get over. It's just not a concept that's working for me. When it was just the Jigsaw, the first Jigsaw, Tobin Bell, and Little Man on that tricycle, you know, the movie was already out there. It was already kind of nuts, but it's a horror film. And plus, with Jigsaw, him doing what he's doing, you can look at this and say, all right, you know what? I don't need to ask questions. This is just, Jigsaw is like a genius supervillain. You know, he's probably got a lot of money and way too much time on his hands, so he can sit around and make all these goddamn traps and buy all this real estate and these abandoned buildings and build this shit. You know, sure, I'm not going to say anything. But ever since Jigsaw died, and when they promised, like, the final chapter, which there's never no fucking final chapter in Hollywood.
No.
As long as they make them, you know when the final chapter is?
Somebody goes to see it.
Yeah. I'll tell you when there's no final chapter. When they ain't making no money. That's when they close the book on that shit. And years later, they're going to reboot it anyway.
Yeah, it's true.
The fucking Hollywood's Jason Voorhees. That motherfucker's always coming back if there's some money to be made. But when he died, you know, they started doing this whole concept of, because when he died, listen, it was already getting stupid when he was alive, but when he died, they started doing this concept of copycats. So every movie, because they had to keep it going, so every movie they had a new dude that was a copycat. I think they had two movies where they were passing a torch to somebody, passing traps on and schematics and shit, but you know, there was always a copycat coming. Goddamn Jigsaw got more imitators than Elvis and Michael Jackson combined. But it was always some dude, and it was the reason why the concept is crazy, because now, have you seen all these Saw movies?
No.
Okay, so what happens is, every movie is some dude that finds some abandoned property where the electricity is still working. It's still a plug in the wall to put the shit into. Or he can find a public space
maybe
somewhere.
Maybe he hooks up generators.
And them generators ain't gonna last as long as he needs to work all these goddamn traps. I mean, we're talking about an amusement park of death. And he buys, you know, he does all these traps, and he builds all these giant ass elaborate mouse traps, and then kidnaps people, brings them in with some engineering skills he pulled out his ass. And by the way, does all this shit in his spare time, because keep in mind, they still have other jobs that they show them doing.
Yeah.
So, and they do all this by themselves. So this concept of ever since Jigsaw dying and they had these copycats, it's just a hard thing for me to get over, because the copycat concept shows that they are really just stretching this out longer than the ideas and the concepts that they had before.
Sure.
So, you know, looking at this one, where this one is bringing in Chris Rock, who feels somewhat inspired. This one where they, you know, they're trying to make a statement about police brutality, where they are getting political or they are socially conscious. You know, doing that, it does bring this a little bit higher. However, no matter how political or socially conscious you are, if you're still doing that old concept that's not working, which is bringing in copycats and repeating that over and over and over again, the staleness and the silliness of all that is going to overshadow whatever good intentions that you have. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I do. Because I think on one hand, I wanted to commend it for, hey, it has a point. It's a political point. It's making a statement about something. I mean, it's not something a lot of horror movies do. And if they want to reboot the franchise or give it some gravitas, okay, this is a way to go. And make it more of an actual crime thriller. That's a nice pivot and something that gives everything more weight. Unfortunately, they made it a super generic crime thriller.
Yeah.
Yes, that's just so riddled with cliches and so many of them that I didn't even mention. The acting and the dialogue is subpar. The traps are cool, I guess, you know, for that kind of thing. I mean, to be so gory, they make their point. But there's so many things in it along the way where I didn't call them out just now, but like during it, I was like, wait a minute. Well, and then this, and then this. I will say, did not guess the identity of the killer.
Yeah.
And when they start to reveal their plan, a lot of those things I thought of as holes were plugged up. I was like, oh, well, okay. But the more they talked about what they did, the more I was like, well, this brings open, busts open a whole bunch of new questions on, well, then how did this, and what are you doing? And there's no way this could have happened. So I don't know. It falls back on that. It just ultimately it felt like, hey, nice try, or at least nice, you know, ambition of trying, but not really.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I listen. I don't know how fans will react to this. You know, I don't think that they'll worry about the social aspect of this, because that's one of the things that people are saying. Oh shit, it's all gone woke too. Shit, you know, everybody trying to get up here and have an opinion about social issues now. Can we just get back into entertainment? Thing is, Saw has. This is not the first time that Saw has been socially conscious. I think it was 4. 4 is where they came in. They kidnapped a bunch of insurance people,
okay,
and were making a point about healthcare at that time.
Essence, it breaks down to monthly payments multiplied by lifespan minus the probability of illness, and if the sum is positive, we consider coverage.
Who devised that formula?
Me.
So in a sense, you choose who lives or dies.
No, I'd say I decide which people have the potential to live long, healthy lives.
But you're not taking into consideration the most important human element of all.
Which is what?
The will to live.
So that was, people tell me, I saw 6 right there. So, you know, that was one where they made a statement about things that were going on, another social problem. So it's not the first time. I think that one of the things that might get fans out there who love the Saw series, and you love it for the traps. You love it because you just want to see how many different ways they can creatively tear somebody apart, is this is more of a police procedural. You know, this is something where they're not doing as many traps. There's actually long gaps in between those moments where they actually put somebody in something and start tearing out limbs and whatnot. So if somebody said, you never reviewed 6. Yeah, I did. I saw it in a theater at midnight. I went and saw that with the insurance people. Mm-hmm. I actually remember that one. Yeah, that we reviewed that one on Spill. Now, y'all might not remember that one, but yeah, that was when we had to go to at night. I don't think I went, either I was with Tony or by myself. But yeah, no, I remember that one. It was all right. You know, I thought that one, I thought that was, it was pretty cool. They had something to say. But, you know, this one has long gaps between those moments.
Sure does.
So if you go, if you come in here looking for like a complete gore fest horror movie, it's more of a police thriller. You know, think more like Seven, except with not even Seven. Think more like Four. Yeah, man. So, but yeah, you know, this is I think that it's just, even fans who are getting tired of seeing the same old thing, this could possibly be that same old thing that people are talking about. But you know, I'll give my wrap up for this in a little bit. I want to hear what your rating is and your wrap up on this is.
Oh, well, I mean, I feel like I gave my wrap up already. But as you point out, there's long gaps between traps. And while the traps, if you like the traps, those are the highlights. Everything in between is not very good. I mean, it gets a little bit better when Samuel Jackson comes in, but then he only just shows how much worse everybody else was. And there's not a lot to recommend. Although, like I said, I did like the ending, not the very ending because it's just setting up for more, but the climax, I did find myself liking that better than the rest of it. Because normally at that point you figure like, well, this is only going to be about this speed. And I was like, oh, okay. And a lot of times with something like this, there's that feeling of they made this up on the fly. But I was like, it's possible you had this plan the whole time. So I'll give you some kudos for that. But ultimately my rating, I don't know. I mean, I'm not one of the fans, so I can't speak for that. But I'd still say it's a rental.
Yeah, I think when you talk about the fans with this, they have some of the people that they brought back, and they kind of know what they're doing. So you can feel that, you know, because they're smart. They're bringing back people who are familiar with this and know what the fans really responded to, along with Chris Rock, who has this inspired new concept for it. You know, they brought back the director here, Darren Lynn Bousman, who did 2, 3, and 4, I believe. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, people, I think the writers, because they brought back, I didn't put the writers up here. They have the writers here, and the writers, I think they just wrote Jigsaw, but they brought back some people in here who are very familiar with this, so they know what they're doing. But as far as the movie goes, Saw is in his own trap right now, where they, you know, they can't figure out how to get out of it, man. Now that they, you know, they can't figure out how to get out of these sillier aspects of the story, like the copycats, and it will remain in that trap, you know, until they figure out some kind of way of advancing it beyond that. But with new talent and, you know, and actually having something to say, it had enjoyable moments in there, man. I definitely wouldn't rush out to see this at the theater. But if I was watching this at home, I enjoyed parts of it. I will tell you this. I think that the movie gets better as it goes along. Because there was a moment where I didn't recognize Chris Rock's acting anymore. I think that as things get more intense, as things move faster, as the pace picks up, as you get better actors coming in and bringing all the better, raising everybody else's acting ability up, I think that things got better as it went along. So while it started out really rough, started out very rocky, started out painful in some parts, you know, I'd rather a movie just start that way and get slightly better as it goes along instead of the opposite way.
Sure.
Yeah, and like I said, Chris Rock, I agree with you, man. That fool was struggling with that acting.
Yeah, he's just acting so hard.
But later on in the movie, I didn't recognize his acting anymore. I thought that as things got more intense, so did he, man. You know, and I don't know, a lot of it was like bringing, he wasn't doing the same kind of dialogue. He didn't have the same amount of dialogue. And the dialogue that he had, he could do it without saying fuck. He could actually show emotion behind it. I felt his intensity. So everything kind of picked up for me. As I said, you know, the reveal in this is still kind of crazy to me, but I enjoyed it enough to give it a high rental.
I feel like he was just intense the whole time, but then later as the movie went on, toward the end, it got intense, so it kind of raised up to match him.
Yeah. Shit, even that caterpillar was like, shut the fuck up. Trying to sleep. Shit.
And stop curling your lip.
Yeah.
With everything.
Yeah, I think Chris Rock is getting better as an actor. I think, you know, he got into it later, so he still needs to, he needs experience. You know, he hasn't been doing a lot of dramatic roles.
He needs somebody like Steven Soderbergh to work with him.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
guy knows how to make turn non-actors into actors.
Yeah, yeah. Shit, just go back to telling jokes, you know?
There's always
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but no, I'm behind him. I'm behind him, man. I want to see this guy. I want to see him succeed, man. I want to see him actually, you know, great to see him try to expand his abilities. So if he can actually get beyond that, then great.
Hello, Detective Banks. Do you know where your officers are?